You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Home sweet home. It's largely been a dreadful start to the 2018-2019 season for the Rockets, but with their backs against the wall Tuesday night and starting a critical stretch with 8 of the next 11 games within the friendly confines of Toyota Center, the Rockets got it done with a 111-103 win over their Western Conference rivals, the Portland Trail Blazers. On that positive note, welcome in to another postgame episode, finally a joyous postgame episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's episode is sponsored courtesy of our friends over at Action Heat, which makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. You can stay toasty warm during your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat apparel and use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. I used the phrase backs against the wall for the Rockets because it felt like it going in. The Rockets had lost 3 games in a row, all 3 of their West Coast road trip, or Western Conference road trip, that is, this past week in Minnesota, Utah, and Dallas. They entered losing 7 of 9, and then they fell behind 15 points within the first 6 minutes or so of Tuesday night's game against Portland to kick off this extended home stretch with 8 of the next 11. It was a game the Rockets, even with the win, now just at 12-14 on the season, desperately had to have, given their poor start. Fortunately, led by a strong bench showing, I would say by and large, the best bench showing they've had all season long, the Rockets were able to flip that early 15-point deficit into as much as a 17-point advantage, then held on for the 8-point win, again improving them to 12-14 on the year. The loss drops Portland to 15-12. And for all that's been made about the Rockets being second to last in the Western Conference, in my opinion, that's somewhat missing the forest for the trees because the Western Conference is so jam-packed. The Blazers were leading it a couple of weeks ago. Now they're 15-12 and currently the 7th seed. It is so jam-packed. The 1 seed has 8 losses. The 4 seed has 9. 5 through 8 are between 10 and 11. So even though the Rockets have had a very disappointing start to the season by their standards from a year ago, winning 65 games, they're certainly going to come nowhere close to that this year. At the same time, if they can improve their level of play, no, they're really not that far back because with tonight's results, they're only 2 games back in the loss column of a Portland team that's been near the top of the West all season long. So if the Rockets can turn it around, based on the parity of the Western Conference, there is a lot out there still to play for. As far as tonight's game, James Harden led the way in scoring, 29 points, 10 of 21 shooting. Chris Paul had a triple-double, a bit of an unorthodox one, 11 points on just 2 of 12 shooting, but 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Eric Gordon had 14 points, 6 of 13 shooting, and his return to the starting lineup, shouldn't say return, because it really is his promotion. The first time he started at the 3, his other starts this year have been replacing Chris Paul or James Harden, so this was the start of a new look starting 5 for the Rockets tonight. But we'll talk about them as we move our way through our usual 3 points recap. I also don't want to forget about James Ennis, who played well off the bench, but then unfortunately re-aggravated his previously strained right hamstring. We'll touch on those more as we move our way through the show. But to lead off, it's all about the aforementioned bench. Because for the Rockets this year, so much has been made that once you drop below a certain point on the roster, it falls off a cliff. For the balance of the season, it's been one of the lowest scoring benches in the league, and that's been even with Eric Gordon starting the majority of games from the bench. Now that he is in the starting lineup, you would think the bench would even be weaker, and yet the Rockets, playing at home, I'm sure helps a lot. They have had more road games than home games so far, and maybe that's where a stretch with 8 of the next 11 at home can help out. But regardless of the reason, Nene, Gerald Green, Daniel House played fabulous games, and they were instrumental in turning this for the Rockets. And it goes back to what we've said all season long, which is that it's less about a tactical adjustment. It's less about pieces the Rockets need. Now, sure, they could use more depth, because right now they have at least 2 roster spots in Michael Carter-Williams and Carmelo Anthony. They're giving them nothing, and hopefully once those players are trade eligible on Saturday the 15th, the Rockets can rectify that before too long. But it's not like those 2 roster spots are the only thing that's going wrong with the Rockets. in a season which they were 11-14 through 25 games. Generally speaking, they've got to get more consistent effort up and down the roster, and it's not about X's and O's, it's not about tactical adjustments, it's about being in the right frame of mind. And after the Rockets got down 27-12 to start this game, at one point they were losing the rebounding battle 17-5. As soon as Nene and Gerald Green came in, it felt like it flipped. And it was a matter of younger legs turning the tide, because those are two of the oldest guys on your roster. It was just about bringing the right mentality to compete. And by the way, after starting 17-5 behind in the rebounding battle, the Rockets finished at 44-42, down two, basically fought the Blazers to parity, which is reflective of their energy after that subpar start, down 27-12 through the first 6 minutes of the game. And in both halves, it comes down to the bench setting the right tone. They went on a 17-2 run in the first half. They went on a 20-3 run between the third and fourth quarters in the second half. And all three of those guys that played major minutes in both halves, Nene, 10 points, but did it on 5 of 7 shooting. He was plus 15 compared to minus 7 for Clint Capella, who fouled out in his 27 minutes. Now, I don't think Capella is quite as bad as the plus minus would indicate. I think to some degree, the Blazers with both C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard able to attack him off the dribble on switches. I still think he's a touch heavy compared to the guy he's been the last 2 years. And the Blazers, with multiple elite one-on-one talents, they're a particularly bad matchup if the Rockets are going to switch defensively on everything the way they have in the past. With Nene, they helped a little bit more. So I do think that's one schematic area where the Rockets were a little bit better with Nene, and it's not just Nene versus Capella. Capella was left on an island a bit more than Nene was. That said, Nene's motor was incredible, and even at 36 years old, it's incredible. Since he's come back a week and a half ago on Saturday against Chicago, I have been floored by how trustworthy he has become. There's a reason why, late in the Dallas game, it seemed the Rockets couldn't decide whether they wanted Clint Capella or Nene out there, because Nene was plus 13 in his minutes, and his body, even against DeAndre Jordan on a night that he had 12-20, was essential for the Rockets. Even at 36 years old, he also protected the rim tonight and had two blocks, Nene did. So he was protecting the rim defensively. Offensively, he was able to take the ball to the rim. It was a friendly matchup for him, because with Nurkic, the Blazers are a bit more traditional up front. But at 36 years old, I didn't realize Nene still had this in the tank against any team. There's a reason why a lot of us expected that Isaiah Hartenstein or Joe Chi going into the year might have a chance to win the job, or the Rockets might look at the buyout market if someone becomes available at the backup five spot. Well, since Nene came back and since he's healthy coming off the shelf from that calf strain, he looks rejuvenated. He actually looks, in my opinion, to be moving the best he has since his first year in Houston, when he was an instrumental player for the Rockets in the playoffs against the Thunder before ultimately going out with the injury, the groin pull, in the Spurs series. And that's when that series really turned against the Rockets. I don't know if Nene is going to be able to bring that every single night. There's a reason why, even in a somewhat friendly setting for him tonight, he only played 21 minutes. But if he can even give you 15 to 20 a night with that level of energy at 36 years old, and for a bench that struggled a lot this year, it really, really helps, because he's able to swing the ball, he's able to draw attention, he provides a physical presence, and that's just the inside. The good news for the Rockets tonight, it was surrounded by positive play on the perimeter. Gerald Green had what I thought was by far his best showing of the year. 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting, 3 of 3 from behind the arc in his 21 minutes, plus 18. And then Daniel House, 12 points, 4 of 8 shooting, plus 24, a team best in his 19 minutes, 4 of 8 from the field. Only made 1 of 4 from behind the arc, but he made 3 of 4 inside. He was getting out in transition. He was active defensively. Both of those guys, Green and House, you could just feel the intensity get better the moment those guys entered the game. And even though neither of them are guys, Gerald in his low 30s, House starting the season in the G League, are the type of player that you expect to radically transform a team from a talent perspective. Again, it's not just about that for the Rockets. It's also about bringing the right mentality. And they entered and they just played like dogs tonight. And that's what the Rockets need more of, that dog vibe. And maybe that's where a stretch with 8 of 11 at home can help. Because when you're on the road, and especially if you're playing good teams like Minnesota, Utah, and Dallas, it's easy to fall into the here-we-go-again trap. Well, the Rockets tonight, and credit the crowd at Toyota Center, even after a dreadful start down 27-12. It would have been so easy to say, here we go again. It's more of the same. This is a lost season. The Rockets didn't accept it. Now, I'm not going to say they're back because ultimately we've seen this happen before. They won 5 straight games in 8 of 10. Then they had the losing streak. Then they won 2 in a row, San Antonio and Chicago, by an average of nearly 25 points a game. So no, I'm not going to say just because they had one quality win over Portland that all of a sudden they're back. No, we've been there before. They've got to show it for a much longer stretch, certainly than one game. I'd even say more than 2 or 3 games. But maybe getting some games at home is the ticket to getting the team collectively in the right frame of mind. And if some of the regulars are a bit beaten down because they're kind of burdened by the high expectations that everyone had entering the season, then maybe it's those younger guys, or in the case of Gerald, someone who just clearly doesn't give a bleep, because that's what makes him elite as a player in the NBA, or as a role player, I should say, and what leads to the success that he's had. Maybe it's no coincidence that those are the guys in the best position to pull the Rockets out of it. Now, they did have some help from James Ennis early in the game. He had 5 rebounds in just 15 first-half minutes. It was the 4th straight game which he had 4 or more rebounds after he only did that 3 times in the first 19 games. He had a big part in picking up the Rockets' energy and his new role off the bench with Eric Gordon starting at the 3, and I thought he was a key reserve for the Rockets, and you could see him getting more springy. That's something I've commented on as the weeks have progressed, as he's gotten over his grade 2 hamstring strain, or so we thought, because in the second half, unfortunately, despite the positive production he gave them in the first half, he re-aggravated that right hamstring strain. The Rockets won't know the severity until tomorrow, but safe to say he'll be out a while. So we'll talk more about that in the third and final segment of our show, because certainly the Rockets are going to have to replace at least some of those minutes going forward. Ennis tonight left early, but still 18 big minutes, even though he just scored 2 points. The Rockets were plus 15 in those minutes, and his energy, his 5 rebounds, that was a big part of the Rockets' success, especially in the first half when they flipped that early 15-point deficit with a 17-2 run. More on that in a few moments, as well as the, I would say, somewhat odd games from James Harden and Chris Paul. Neither was Superman, but they certainly contributed in different ways. But before I get to the rest of the roster, wanted to lead with the bench because they deserve it, but before we get to the other key aspects of tonight's game, for better and for worse, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at Action Heat, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And our friends at Action Heat, I said off the top, you know them because they make the world's best battery-heated clothing, offering heat on demand at literally the touch of a button. What you might not know is that they have a line starting at just $39. So at a relatively inexpensive price for what they offer, their clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat, and they can do it through the use of heated panels similar to those in a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees, and they're powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours per charge. The batteries can also recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're using them. They offer both men's and women's products, with new styles and models just released for this winter season. They allow you to stay warm and cozy from head to toe, with offerings like heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments. It's perfect for anyone on your holiday shopping list, or really anybody that loves the outdoors or just hates being cold. The best part, of course, is our listeners here at Locked On Rockets, they've got a special deal for you to save 20% off of your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything they've got. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. So remember, let Action Heat keep you toasty warm during all of your outdoor activities this winter, and we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. So, jumping back into the program, our Tuesday night recap of this 111-103 win by the Rockets over the Portland Trail Blazers at Toyota Center. The win improved the Rockets to 12-14 on the year, snaps a stretch in which they had lost 3 straight and 7 of 9. The Blazers, it drops them to 15-12. The Blazers team has been near the top of the Western Conference for most of the season, somehow only 2 games ahead of the Rockets in the loss column now, which might be the Rockets' saving grace, how limited the separation is in the Western Conference, because there's so much parity and so many good teams. Of course, the Rockets have a long way to go before we really start talking about playoff seedings. At this point, they just need to stabilize, and as many times as we'd like to think that the Rockets are back, I'm not going to say that after one game. We need to see it for much more than that, and I won't even say it after 2 or 3 games at this point either. We need to see the Rockets go on an extended run of quality basketball before we entertain those thoughts and try and recalibrate our expectations to anywhere near the level they were before the season. But clearly the difference tonight was a bench for the Rockets that going in to the season, and really going into this month, I should say, had been a weakness for the Rockets. You wondered, especially with Eric Gordon going in the starting lineup, where the punch was going to come from. Well, Nene, even at 36 years old, he had a throwback night, even outperformed Clint Capella, although I do think some of that was schematic because Capella was left out to dry on switches against Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in ways that Nene was not. Also, it helped that Nene played a bit in lineups where the Blazers had one or neither of those two guys out there. So I don't think the numbers are quite as bad for Capella as you might think at first glance when you look at the situation. But regardless, Nene played well. Gerald Green had his best shooting night of the year. If he's going to go on a hot stretch, then the Rockets can certainly use that. Also, when Gerald makes shots, it's amazing what that does for his activity level defensively. Had a steal and two blocks in his 21 minutes. He was flying around. And Daniel House, he does what he does. He may not be the best shooter, but he's able to get out in transition. His energy is infectious. And I think, especially for a young guy like that, spurred on by his hometown crowd, all of that was instrumental in the Rockets turning a game which they trailed by 15 early, went on a 17-2 run in the first half with the bench and 23 in the second half. Yet, even with the strong bench performance, and we led with them for a reason, the Rockets only played nine players, and of the nine players, one of them, James Ennis, left early with a strained hamstring. More on that in segment three. Well, it tells you that the Rockets did not have truly an all-bench unit. Now, they had majority bench units, and it turned around, but generally speaking, those units were led by Chris Paul, who, despite shooting 2 of 12 and 0 of 4 from behind the arc, actually had a triple-double, 11 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds, just one turnover, and that, to me, was so encouraging, because when the Rockets were at their best last year, it was Chris Paul leading that second unit and able to push the pace. If the Rockets are struggling offensively, and I think a lot of what's happened to them this year, we saw late in games for a brief spell tonight that the Rockets got a little bit predictable playing the clock. Well, Mike D'Antoni said before the game that he would like them, especially with some of these younger guys off the bench, to get out, to pick up the pace and play to their strengths, and that especially Gerald Green, Daniel House, James Ennis, when he's healthy, they can fly around. Well, Chris Paul, a guy who historically is one of the league's slowest paced point guards, he showed a willingness to adapt, and he got out and ran more, and that's something that he did, especially over the grind of the 82-game season last year. Now, in the playoffs, they slowed down a little bit, especially based on the level of competition. The Jazz and Warriors are two elite defensive teams, but Chris Paul, even though it may not be to his liking in an ideal world, he picked up the pace, and not only did he pick up the pace, he had 10 assists to just one turnover. And for all that's been made this year about the Rockets not having enough help for their bigs on the boards, because Clint Capella has certainly done his part on the season rebounding, and P.J. Tucker has stepped it up in recent weeks, but we've said a lot about the 1-3 spots not doing their share. Well, Chris Paul by far led the Rockets in rebounding tonight with 11, and again, the Rockets, after being down 17-5 early, battled back the Blazers to near parity. 44-42 was the only advantage that Portland had at the end of 48 minutes. And when your point guard, the smallest guy on the floor, and a 33-year-old in Chris Paul is able to get 11 rebounds, yeah, that sets the right tone. Chris Paul wanted this game. He also had three steals, a block. The shots didn't fall, but ultimately, they're going to have nights where it goes in for you, and there are going to be nights where it's cold. But if Chris is able to provide the energy in other ways, and if he is able to control the turnovers, that is so, so huge for this basketball team. And really, the same can be said for James Harden. Because you might look at it and say, James had 29 points, 32 minutes, and he was 10 of 21 from the field. But the Blazers didn't really help as much as a lot of teams have this year, and that's a reflection of Harden having just 4 assists in the night. So even though he was efficient, shooting nearly 50%, 4 of 9 from 3, it didn't really feel like Harden was in control of the game as much as he has been in certain stretches this year. But the real advantage for the Rockets is that he only turned the ball over twice. Paul and Harden combined only 3 turnovers. The Rockets just 7 as a team. And it's amazing the tone that sets. Even though Chris Paul shot just 2 of 12, even though James Harden, while shooting relatively well, had just 4 assists, it wasn't like either of them was in MVP form or anything close to it, although Chris Paul's triple-double might lead some to believe that. I'm rolling my eyes as I say that, of course. You all know why if you're a Rockets fan going back 2 years ago. But I think what this shows you is that the Rockets value possessions. Even if you don't have peak Chris Paul and peak James Harden, you can get better results. Because Saturday, I know every time Chris Paul has a bad game shooting, there's a segment of Twitter that wonders, is he washed? And he's dealt with some injuries to start the year. It's been a small sample size. I think it's incredibly premature to jump to those conclusions, and I've said that plenty of times. But Saturday, for example, against a good team in Dallas, he was great. 23 points, 8 assists, at least statistically, I should say, 10 of 20, 50% from the field, 3 of 7, 43% from 3. Between the two of them, Chris and James combined for 58 points and 16 assists on nearly 50% shooting. For backcourt? That is fantastic. Yet the Rockets lost the game in part because they didn't value possessions. Now, that's not to say that the Rockets were perfect late. They played the clock a bit too much, which I think in terms of their clutch struggles has been a theme too often this year. They wait until 4 or 5 seconds are left on the shot clock because Chris and James are both elite isolation players, at least when you look at the entirety of the data. But when you wait that long, especially if one of them is injured or out, then it makes the offense far too predictable, and defenses, even if they're overmatched on paper or should be, then based on the anticipation advantage by knowing the Rockets have to make a move because the clock is against them, then they're able to counteract what should be an advantage. So I thought that started to happen when the Rockets got up 17 midway through the fourth, and it got down at one point to as narrow as 5, but I did think the Rockets adjusted. Eric Gordon, his first game in the starting lineup, 14 points, 4 assists. He had a big drive. I thought even though Eric was 0 of 5 from 3, he was useful in the starting lineup because he was another guy that could attack the cup. He finished around Nurkic at will, it seemed like, and he had a big one in the fourth quarter with 3 or 4 minutes left when the Rockets had it down just to 5, their lead, that pushed it back. But eventually, from that point on, I felt like the Rockets learned from it. James started initiating the offense earlier. He drew fouls, and hopefully it's something they can build on, and as I've said throughout the year, it's much easier to improve upon your bad moments if you're doing it after a win. Because if you're doing it after a loss, it's much easier for it to build bad habits and to mentally weigh on you. So the Rockets weren't perfect in the fourth quarter. They do need to execute better, and that starts with James Harden. But ultimately, I did think they turned it around to a degree. That's why they ultimately won by 8 points, and it really wasn't all that close. And by getting a win, hopefully it makes it easier to make the changes they need to make. By and large, James Harden, Chris Paul, despite the triple-double for CP3, the stat lines were not nearly as gaudy as they were Saturday night in Dallas, but the result for the team was a lot better with the 111-103 win. And I think it's a reflection of the fact that they don't always need them to be Superman. Sometimes they just need them to be efficient, to take care of the basketball, and overall set the right tone, value possessions, and even though they weren't in peak form tonight, I think they did enough in terms of leadership. Certainly Chris Paul's willingness to pick up the pace with that second unit and play to their strengths, that helped a lot. James Harden being able to make adjustments late in the game when it felt like the Blazers were on a run. The little things, it's not anything that you're going to say outweighs the totality of the evidence. The Rockets are 12-14, and through 26 games, that's well below expectations. But at this point, up and down the roster, you're just looking for positive things that you can build on, especially with a hard stretch of games coming up. The Lakers Thursday, Memphis on the road Saturday, Utah Monday, and for once, for the first time in a week, the Rockets actually have a win, something to feel good about as they return to work for practice on Wednesday. Now, when the Rockets return to practice on Wednesday, one guy I do not anticipate them having available is James Ennis. Because even though the Rockets had a fairly feel-good win, snapping the three-game losing streak, 111-103 in Tuesday night's win over the Blazers, Ennis played well in the first half, 5 rebounds, tying a season high in just 15 minutes, and he's gotten progressively better on that end. The Rockets need more rebounding up and down the roster to help out Clint Capela and P.J. Tucker up front. I mentioned Chris Paul leading the way with a team-high 11 rebounds on Tuesday in the win over Portland, while James Ennis wasn't far behind early with 5, again tying his season high in the first 15 minutes. But after just 3 second-half minutes, he left early, re-aggravating his right hamstring strain. The Rockets won't know until they put him through an MRI if it's as serious as the grade 2 that he suffered the first time. But ultimately, it's not going to be something that they put him back in a matter of a day or two. With a hamstring strain, even a minor one, like whatever happened with Chris Paul before the Cleveland game when the Rockets were on their positive stretch, they still sat him out for 3 games because even a minor hamstring tweak is something that can linger if you don't nip it in the bud. And with this being a re-aggravation for James Ennis, hopefully it's not as bad as the first time, but I would anticipate a minimum of 7 to 10 days, maybe longer than that, since it's the same injury that already happened once this year. So Tonight, when he went out, the Rockets didn't introduce anyone new into the rotation, in large part because the two other wing players, Daniel House and Gerald Green, were playing so well. Again, House, a team best plus 24 in his 19 minutes. He slashes so well, gets out in transition, 12 points, 5 rebounds. Gerald Green in his 21 minutes, 13 points, plus 18, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 3 from behind the arc, also had 2 blocks and a steal. Their energy was infectious, but when you look at the totality of the year, these games are outliers. Now, maybe it helps that you're at home. They are at home on Thursday as well for a nationally televised and what should be a huge audience game against the LeBron James and the LA Lakers. So maybe that will help bring out the best in your role players again. It's long been said that role players play well at home. But as the games progress, and I would expect that it's going to be a somewhat lengthy absence for James Ennis, given that it's a re-aggravation of the same hamstring that he already had a grade 2 strain on earlier this year. I don't know if you can count on Gerald Green and Daniel House to bring you this level of impact every single night, because there's a reason why over the balance of the season they have not been the players they were on Tuesday. So you could play with an 8-man rotation tonight, and certainly it worked well, the Rockets winning by 8. I don't know if that's going to be the ticket long term. And the guy who may need to step up is clearly Gary Clark. He had a good run early in the year, and as his shot increasingly tailed off, the Rockets ended up, especially with the promotion of Daniel House, turning to other options that they had more trust in from a perimeter shooting perspective, especially with the Rockets having so much reliance on the three-point shot in their system. But as the games progress, I think this is going to be Gary Clark's opportunity to get back into rotation. He's got his standard contract now, so there's no worry about him running out of days on his two-way. I spoke to Gary before the game, posted the clips on my Twitter timeline, at Ben Dubose. He is keeping his head up. He's actually saying that he's not even worried that much about his jump shot. Now, of course, he's working on it, but the reason he's saying that is just to point out that, look, when you play basketball, you're going to go through weeks in which sometimes your shot is there, and other weeks it's not. What you can control is your defense, and he said he thought that his communication was actually something that had lagged. He said he's not necessarily a natural at being all that vocal, but in the Rockets' switching scheme, it's something that they really need. And of course, with him being a rookie, teams are going to target him a lot, and he needs to call it out better. He pointed out that when he was a senior at Cincinnati, again, the interview's on my Twitter timeline, at Ben Dubose, that he stepped into that role. Now that he's a newbie in the NBA, it's a little easy for him to revert back into old habits, but he knows that he needs to be more vocal, especially in this scheme to succeed, and that's what he's focused on, because ultimately he trusts that just as we saw him make 3 3-pointers against the Warriors, and he's a big game player, he steps up when the team needs him, he trusts that as long as he puts in the work and the Rockets have the good shooting coaches, that that shot is going to come around. It's about his defense, and clearly he has the technique, he has the IQ. I think what the Rockets saw that they were concerned about was that he was not rotating and he was not communicating as well as he did early in the year. It wasn't about his defense, like he was getting blown by one-on-one. It was that team-wise, he wasn't quite as dynamic as he was early on in the year. Maybe teams looked at the tape and made adjustments, but Gary's in the right frame of mind. And we have seen moments this year, including against the Warriors, where he has been a very, very useful player. There's a reason why, even though he fell out of the rotation, the Rockets still saw enough that they gave him the standard contract before his 45 games were up. And ultimately, I think this is going to be his opportunity. Now, could this change if once December 15th gets here, the unofficial kickoff of trade season, and guys like Michael Carter-Williams, Carmelo Anthony are able to be dealt, as well as other offseason signings around the NBA? Sure, and we'll see what Saturday brings. That's the 15th. But for now, looking at the roster, the way it is currently constructed, until there's a deal, I'm going to assume that the guys here are going to be the guys here. And Gary Clark is the guy with James Ennis out. I don't think that you can have an 8-man rotation, especially with Gerald Green and Daniel House being somewhat spotty at times over the first 25 games of the year, that all of a sudden you're just going to go 8 guys and trust every night that Gerald Green and Daniel House will give you close to what they did tonight. I think that's a noble goal. It's probably not going to happen. You're going to need someone to step up, and hopefully Gary Clark is that guy. Will he do it? We'll have to wait and see. Time will tell. But after talking to him, I don't think he is at all demoralized after falling out of the rotation. His head's in the right place. The Rockets believe in him. And ultimately, it sucks that James Ennis is out, because I think you could see early in this game, I've said before that, you know, the one weakness for Ennis that's been most pronounced this year is him being prone to fouls. Well, if you put him off the bench, then going up against usually less experienced players, then it's going to be not as easy to get him into foul trouble. He had 0 fouls tonight. And his strengths in terms of energy, getting out in transition, he can be more of a force in the glass. All of that happened tonight. Again, 5 fouls, five rebounds, no fouls in 15 first half minutes. Unfortunately, he pulled a hamstring. I do think there's going to be a role for him when he comes back, especially off the bench. I think that's the ideal usage, and there were positive signs even in less than one game tonight. But for the next, I would say at least few games, given that it's a hamstring, which is always tricky, and a re-aggravation of one injured earlier this year, other guys are going to have to step up. It starts with Gerald Green and Daniel House, but I highly doubt the Rockets are going to be content with an 8-man rotation for the foreseeable future. Maybe they do for a game or two, especially if it's working well, but eventually someone's going to have to step in. It could be Brandon Knight next week. It sounds like maybe Monday against the Jazz is what they're aiming for, but if it's not Brandon Knight, if it's something before then, Gary Clark is the guy, especially from a defensive perspective, that may need to step up, and hopefully he'll take advantage of the opportunity that should be in front of him. Anyway, with that, I think we can wrap up tonight's show, our Tuesday night recap of the 111-103 win the Rockets posted over the Western Conference rivals Portland Trailblazers. The Rockets now 12-14 on the year after the win, only two games back in the loss column of the Blazers, somehow, who fall to 15-12. So until our next show, this is where we'll leave off. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in, and if you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it, as always, is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. If you want content or access beyond Twitter, we've got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, or even inquire about how to become a potential sponsor of the program, just as our friends at Action Heat were today. Remember to stay toasty warm during your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat's battery-heated clothing line, and use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Also, if you have not subscribed to the podcast already, please do, because we're widely available as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, local experts across the NBA, NFL, even Major League Baseball, and college sports. We've got great distribution, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you listen to your podcast, the odds are you can find us. So please subscribe. That's how you get episodes even before I post them on Twitter, and you get the benefit of them being delivered to your inbox. And if you'd be kind enough to leave a 5-star review, that's how we can look attractive to potential sponsors, just as Action Heat was today, and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. And while you're checking us out on those sites, feel free to check out Locked On Texans, our sister show covering the NFL's great story, the Houston Texans, now 9-4 on the year. Their podcast, Locked On Texans Daily, just like Locked On Rockets, hosted by Robert Lane and Brian Patterson. Check them out as well at the same distribution platforms as you can find Locked On Rockets. Once again, the happy final, now that the plugs are out of the way. Rockets 111, Blazers 103. The Rockets snapped their 3-game losing streak, improved to 12-14 on the year. Back in action Thursday night against the LA Lakers and LeBron James, also at Toyota Center. Nationally televised game, which should have a big audience around the country and around the world. Hopefully, the Rockets can use that crowd and that energy to their advantage, especially the bench guys who seemingly sparked them tonight, led by Nene, Gerald Green, Daniel House, and while he was able to play, James Ennis. Hat tip to those guys. Anyway, for one night, Rockets fans, you can be happy. Again, 111-103 winners against a quality Blazers team. The Rockets look good. Savor it for now and come back soon and check us out for more Rockets content right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of Houston Rockets basketball.